Good morning and welcome to Moments of Meditation. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street South in Pine City, Minnesota, and also pastor of Living Branch Lutheran Church at 6486 Elm Street in North Branch, Minnesota. Our phone number at Zion is 320-629-3683, and our Gmail is zionpinecity@gmail.com. We also have a website at zionpinecity.org. At Living Branch, our number is 651-674-5576, and my email is pastorglennkleppe@livingbranch.org, and our website is livingbranch.org. Both of those churches are members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which means that we're Lutheran, we're traditional, we're liturgical. Most importantly, we're biblical. I have recorded quite a few services, mostly from Zion, and they are on my YouTube channel. It's just called simply Glenn Kleppe, and they go back several years if you are looking for a worship service to watch. Lent begins on Wednesday, February 14th. And we will be having a midweek series at both churches called Be Gracious to Me, based on King David's Psalm 41. The services are in North Branch at 7 o'clock p.m. on Tuesdays, and in Pine City at 11:30 a.m. and 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays. The Lord be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Take a moment to think about your own sinfulness and your standing with God. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As you could probably tell from that prayer, we are recognizing today the Transfiguration of Jesus. In the church, we traditionally take the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany, and celebrate the Transfiguration on that day. And since this coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, this is the last Sunday in Epiphany. And so the Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from 2 Kings chapter 2. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Did you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw it no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 50, verses 1 through 6. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire. Around him, a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Our epistle lesson from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3 and spilling over into chapter 4. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze on the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yet to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 2 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the church year, every year on this Sunday, the Sunday before Ash Wednesday, we observe and remember and celebrate the Transfiguration. It was a noticeable occasion in the ministry of Jesus as he took his three closest disciples and went up on a mountain where he was transfigured before them. It certainly was one of the most unique and interesting things of Jesus' earthly ministry. If you'd been on the mountain that day to see the transfiguration of Jesus, how would you have described it? Today's gospel reading is from the book of Mark, and Mark, who, by the way, wasn't there. Only Peter, James, and John were there with Jesus. But Mark chose to describe the transfiguration in the best way he knew how. He wrote that Jesus' clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. Really? Bleach? Is that the best Mark could do in his description? He had no doubt heard firsthand accounts of that day, and I don't know how they described it, but here Mark is writing in his gospel about one of the most incredible days of Jesus' ministry, and the best he can come up with, apparently, is that Jesus is really good at laundry. Every so often, I bring my robes home from church, and my wife Linda washes them, and they get whiter than they have been. I've never really compared that experience to Jesus' transfiguration on the mountain. If you had been there that day, how would you have described it? If you'd been on the mountain that day to see the transfiguration of Jesus, how would you have felt? We don't really have a clear description of how those three disciples felt. The only reaction we have is that Peter wanted to build three tents, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. It's interesting that he didn't suggest one for himself, or one for James, or one for John, just three tents. I'm not sure how I would have felt, but I'm pretty sure that wouldn't have been my reaction. Tents? Was he thinking that he wanted to camp? "It's good, Lord, to be here," he said. But that was the best reaction he could come up with? What would you have done? Oh, I'm pretty sure we would have pulled out our phone and taken some selfies, one with Moses and one with Elijah and one with Jesus. Or maybe built a monument or written a song. Or maybe we would have just fallen down before them to worship. Do Mark's descriptions sound strange? Do they seem somewhat incomplete or maybe even shallow? Why do they describe that day in that way? When I think about the transfiguration of Jesus, I'm amazed. For nearly all of Jesus' ministry, he had walked around looking like every other man in Israel at the time. It probably was difficult even to distinguish him from his disciples. Although many people saw something special in him, it didn't seem like it was his appearance that caused them to think that. It was what he said, what he did. And yet that day his appearance changed drastically. It was as if He glowed with a light that was not of this earth. He was standing talking to two men from the Old Testament who had been gone for 700 years or more. In the case of Moses, probably more than 1,000 years. In fact, I think the disciples should have been amazed by the simple fact that they knew who Moses and Elijah were. How did they know? They'd never seen a photo of them. Did they wear name tags? On that day on that mountain, heaven came down to earth. That day, Jesus appeared much more like the only begotten Son of the Father, the second person of the Trinity, than he seemed to be the son of Mary and Joseph from Nazareth. That day, Jesus seemed much more suited for sitting on a throne in heaven than walking the dusty roads of Galilee. This was not earthly Jesus. It was heavenly Jesus. And the two men with him were men from heaven, no longer on earth. In fact, no one had seen Moses die. God had taken him away from the people and buried him and told them later that he had died, but nobody even knew where he was buried. Elijah had never died. Instead, he was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. It would seem that God was carefully protecting their bodies so that they could be there on that mountain on that day. On that day, those three disciples were as much in heaven as they were on earth. The things that they were seeing were not ordinary earthly things, but more like a heavenly vision. No doubt, they had trouble telling people what they had seen and heard and felt. It's impossible to describe heavenly things in earthly ways. Years later, St. John, who was on the mountain that day, would write about another vision of heaven in the book of Revelation. In the first chapter, he describes his first sight of Jesus in heaven. He writes, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, as though dead." That's the end of the Revelation passage. What did Jesus look like before John? A robe and a sash. Hair like wool, like snow. Eyes like a flame. Feet like bronze. A voice like roaring water. John would go on to describe heaven itself, a foundation of precious stones, streets of gold, gates of pearl. We get an image in our head of what it might look like, but our image could be way off. He was using earthly words to describe heavenly things. So what is heaven like? What do we know for sure? Well, there we'll be freed from time. We'll be freed from sin. There we will experience no sickness or death or sorrow. So many things of earth that we know and are used to, we won't have. So many things that are so good and so far beyond our imagination that we can't even describe them, we will have abundantly and eternally. For now, we are here in our sin. And although our life can be easily described because of our sin, it can also be hard to live. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And we don't often believe or think about the wonders of heaven. We have no reason to believe that they will ever be ours, except for Jesus, the man of heaven who came to earth. We thank God that he sent Jesus to bring heaven down to earth. We thank God that Jesus took the sins of the world on himself and died with those sins to pay the punishment for them. We thank God that he raised Jesus from the dead to give us the promise of eternal life in heaven. We thank him that by his death and resurrection, we will one day see the glories of heaven. I'm pretty sure that when we're in heaven, we won't be commenting on the whiteness of the robe we're wearing. It will be pure, like we will be. Everyone will have one. They will be whiter than we could possibly bleach them. I'm pretty sure that when we're in heaven, we won't say, "It's good to be here. Let's put up a tent." There will be a mansion for each of us. Earthly ways of describing things and looking at things will be behind us. The earth as we know it will be no more. We will all look and think and speak and act in heavenly ways. It will be wonderful, beyond our imagination. If I were on the mountain that day to see the transfiguration of Jesus, how would I describe it? Heavenly. And for now, that's the best I can do. Amen. We confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Holy Father, with the appearance of Moses and Elijah at our Lord's glorious transfiguration, you reveal to us the law and the prophets which are fulfilled in him. Send your blessing upon all pastors and servants of your church that their preaching and teaching would flow from this right understanding of Christ and his work for our eternal salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, grant faithfulness, humility, and patience to the sheep of your flock here at Zion Lutheran and Living Branch Lutheran Church and at all your churches, that in our various vocations we may strive to love you and our neighbor in all that we say and do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, bless the families of your church, that parents would teach the faith to their children, and that the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in all households. Remember all expectant mothers, that they and their babies would be kept safe and healthy throughout their pregnancies. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty Father, you alone establish all authority on earth. Bless those entrusted with this responsibility, both here and around the world, that they would serve with integrity and honor for the well-being of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, look with compassion on those who are in need. We name them now in our hearts. Grant them relief and comfort through the promise of sharing in eternal glory with Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, you revealed your glory in the transfiguration of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lived among us in the flesh. Open our eyes, that by faith we would see him continuing to live among us here in the divine service. Grant that we would heed your admonition to listen to him, as he forgives and preserves us at the baptismal font, the pulpit, and the altar. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember on this day the glorious manifestation of your Son's divinity on the Mount of Transfiguration. Teach us to listen to Jesus and ever fix our eyes on him and his innocent suffering and death for our forgiveness. By your grace and mercy, strengthen us to remain faithful in all circumstances of trial, temptation, and persecution. Preserve us to the end, that we may die a blessed death, believing in your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them. Read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Once again, I want to thank you for joining me this morning. I'm Glenn Kleppe, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church at 410 Main Street South in Pine City. The phone number there is 320-629-3683. I'm also the pastor of Living Branch Lutheran Church at 6486 Elm Street in North Branch, where the number is 651-674-5576. At Zion, our worship is at 8 o'clock Sunday morning and Wednesday evenings at 7 year-round. And at Living Branch, worship is at 10 o'clock Sunday morning. We are in the season of Lent beginning this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, which is February 14th. And our Lenten midweek services this year will be on the theme, Be Gracious to Me, which is based on King David's Psalm 41. Those services are Tuesdays at 7 at Living Branch and 11:30 and 7 on Wednesdays at Zion. May the Lord bless your week.